Golf Smarter number 337, published on June 12, 2012, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Nicholas and Weisskopf's signature courses in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Casey Crandall, General Manager of Vista Vallarta Club de Golf. Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast.
Good morning, everyone.
It's fun, huh?
Yeah, you go.
It's like people see a microphone get shoved in their face, and all of a sudden it's like, hello out there.
Hello at Radio Land.
So we are in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, on the West Coast, and definitely a tourist area. This is definitely one of the bigger tourist areas on the West Coast of Mexico, and has been for a number of years. How many golf courses are in the area?
In the state of Jalisco, here in Puerto Vallarta, there are three golf courses. The two here at Vista Vallarta, the Nicholas Signature and the Weisskopf Signature Course, and the Marina Vallarta Golf Course. In the entire Bay of Banderas, which includes the state of Nayarit, you've got two, three, four, five other golf courses. So there's plenty of golf in the region.
Yeah, and, there's a port here. There's, like, passed a cruise ship this morning as I was coming out in the cab, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to be caught with all those golfers that are coming off the cruise ship, and I'm going to get caught right in the middle of a large group. You probably get a lot of tourists, but you also have a lot of people who own property in this area who are probably regulars here as well, right?
Yeah, we have a membership base here of about 125 members on top of our tourist rounds. Annual basis up here, we'll do about 50,000 rounds in a year. You know, and considering 4 months out of the year is the rainy season here, that's pretty good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And especially compared to what's going on in the United States with golf courses, they're struggling to get 50,000 rounds in.
Yeah. It's definitely changed over the last few years with the economy and the housing meltdown and everything's added to it. So people are working more and playing less, definitely.
Absolutely. The first thing that is very obvious to me is your Spanish accent is not very strong. I sense that you're not a local.
No, I've lived and worked in Mexico since 1994, 17 years. I'm originally from San Diego, California.
And how did you end up here? Well, how did this work out?
I came down in 94 to a club in Baja, California, try it for a year, and just never left. Kind of fell in love with the country.
Really? And tell me why. Because I love it here, too. I come to Mexico every year.
People are warm. In Vallarta, I've been here the last 11 years after being in Baja, Cancun, and Cozumel. Vallarta is, there's 50,000 of us Americans living, or Canadians living here in the destination. So I just really like it. It's a warm place, and it's got a lot to do, and a lot of restaurants. And it's a little more affordable to live down here in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I love the people down here. I actually love the food. The food is, there's some great restaurants tucked away in little, I was in Mismaloya last night, and Tony's Hideaway. This little place, been there 25 years, just around near the zoo, but it's a little teeny town, but a phenomenal restaurant. The guy comes out with a tray of uncooked food and says, here's our menu for tonight.
Yeah, choose your poison. Yeah, it's really, there's a lot of restaurants like that. You know, we have over 400 restaurants in this town.
Do you really?
Yeah. There's cuisine all the way across the board. You know, Chinese, Indian, Mexican, naturally seafood restaurants are very popular, especially to the tourists and the locals, because there's all the fresh fish daily coming off the boats and the fish markets and whatnot. So
I discovered one the other day. You probably don't even know this one because it's only been open for 5 weeks, called Ocean Grill. I was taking the hike. I took the bus all the way to the end of the line out at Boca. Mm-hmm. And there's this hike that's about a hour and a half hike along the coast that ends up at Las Animas. Halfway through, there's this little teeny beach, and built into the side of a hill, they built this place called Ocean Grill that is a high-end restaurant. Very fresh food, a great chef, And I was just blown away how beautiful this location was, but also how good the food was. I mean, have you ever heard of this place yet?
No, it's you're kind of out of my realm of areas that I go to. You're a little further south than I go. I usually just get down to the Romantic Zone and then up here to the Marina District.
Right.
Kind of work myself in between there. I mean, I've been here 11 years, and there's a lot of restaurants I haven't been to yet.
Especially ones that are 5 weeks old.
Yeah.
So, what were you doing in the States? Were you managing?
I operated golf courses, a golf course in San Diego in Mission Valley. It was called the Stardust Country Club. It's now closed. They tore it out and built a new fancy golf course.
Wow.
It was an old traditional 27-hole facility.
Yeah.
It was a nice place.
Well, congratulations. You've found a piece of heaven here in Mexico, and seems to be working well for you, huh?
We're enjoying it. Yeah, it's good.
Family.
It's good. Yeah, and the thing about it here is the golf is really good. I mean, the two courses here are both ranked in the top 10 in Mexico for resort golf. And we have loyal people that come back every year since we've opened.
And let's talk about golf now. I've drained enough of you the things you're not comfortable with. Let's talk about, you have two golf courses here. Let's start picking them apart a little bit. Who are the architects on these courses? Let's go one to the next.
We finished construction of the Nicklaus Golf Course. We actually opened on April 1st.
2012.
2001 we opened.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Yeah, we're coming up on our 11th year for the Nicklaus Golf Course being open. It's on the higher end of the property, so it's got more vistas to the Bay of Banderas, the city, the whole town. You can see from point to point the whole bay. Not as much jungle on the Nicklaus Golf Course as there is in the Weisskopf, because the Weisskopf Golf Course sits down into the ravines and the creek beds and things like that a lot more. They're very, you know, the Weisskopf Signature Golf Course is got more twists and turns to it, you might say.
So are they just classic parkland courses? I mean, I know if you go to Arizona, you're going to have a lot of desert land in between the tee box and the fairway. Is this just straight ahead, you know, most of your par four is just grass all the way out, or you have a lot of, let's start again on the Nicklaus course. What kind of challenges did he design into the course based on the property you have?
Well, we've got arroyos or creek beds that meander through the golf course. Naturally, there's a jungle. Not many holes. You don't go really back and forth a lot on this golf course.
Once you
go out there and play, you'll see what I'm talking about. It. You kind of wind up to the high part of the property, then you wind back down and around. Nicklaus, a lot of the greens have a lot of two-tiered greens in it.
Okay.
The bunkering complexes, a lot of his holes play like his game with a little left to right action going on. It's easier for the fader to play the golf course than it is the hooker, definitely, on the Nicklaus.
Uh-oh. Am I playing Weisskopf?
I'm not sure where we got you today. You'll enjoy either one, though, I guarantee it.
Oh, I can't wait. And it's a beautiful day. It's a little bit overcast, but that's okay. It's not, the sun's not beating down on me. I don't feel I'm going to get beat up here just from the sun. Even.
Yeah, our average temperature this time of the year generally is right around 81 or 82. So.
How perfect is that?
Beautiful. Yeah. And the breeze always starts here about 11 o'clock in the morning. You'll get a little breeze starting.
Okay.
Coming up off the bay.
I don't have a problem with that. So your two-tiered greens and your greens, everyone says it's going to break towards the water. Is that necessarily the case here as well?
Because
you have a bay here and you got mountains on the other side.
Yeah, everything moves away from the big mountain behind us, the largest mountain in the Sierra Madres that we've got behind us, and moves towards the Marina District or the airport. That's kind of like the fault line where everything breaks away from.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what makes a Nicklaus course unique? What is it that you look at this when you're walking through from the design standpoint and go, oh, yeah, this is definitely a Nicklaus course?
Well, especially on his resort golf courses like we have here, it's you can move it all the way back for the really good players, and it makes a very challenging golf course. You can move it all the way up. It kind of everybody enjoys it because it's a resort play type golf course.
And what about the slope and the handicap and your tee boxes, your distances?
From the Nicklaus Golf Course, from the back, it's about 7,000, a little over 7,000 yards. And from the whites, it's like 6,000 and, slopes out at, 126 or something like that? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it looks like the whites are 119 and the golds are 136. So that's
136, yeah. Okay.
And then the blues are 134. So this is a challenging course. This is not...
You can't go to sleep out there. I mean, on any golf, I'm a second generation golf professional. I've been playing golf all my life. I've never been on a golf course I didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, they're all good. They've all got their own special things about them.
And that's what's so
wonderful. Here, up here, there's no houses around. There's no car traffic. You're up in the jungle. You're up in the mountains, and it's very peaceful to play up here.
I noticed that in the cab ride over is that we were getting farther and farther away from the city, and then we're little towns, people, pushing their carts with their dogs following them. A soccer field over here, a soccer field over there, and then all of a sudden you've got all this lush, beautiful land and some beautiful golf land.
Yeah, it really is. It's a special place. I mean, once you get up here, you'll definitely want to come back. Everybody does.
Yeah, well, I was told if you're going to PV, you gotta go play Vista Vallarta, no question. Tell me about the signature hole on Nicklaus. Which one would that be?
I think it's the ninth hole. It's a par three, measuring about 180 some odd yards from the back tees. It's got a royal running across it, and it's got bunkering complexes on the front right and the back left. Long is in the jungle. It was actually on the Nicklaus calendar as one of his signature holes back, in 2002, I believe it was. But everybody, you got to hit a pretty good shot there to make a par or a birdie.
And is that the case on most of these holes? I mean, well, with a 136, it seems like you're going to have to think about what you're going to do. It's not just grip it and rip it, huh?
No, you definitely want to stay in the fairway, because if you wander off the fairway too much, you're going to be in the jungle, and you can't hit the ball out of the jungle very well.
Do you want to go in the jungle?
Really?
Is there anything I need to be nervous about?
You can go in as long as you can see your feet. You are in a jungle. There are reptiles and things in the jungle. So you don't want to go where you can't see your feet. I guess is the best way to say that.
It's a good thing this is audio, because you're looking at me like there's reptiles.
There's some. We've got some boas out there that are six, eight feet long, and, 6, 8 inches around. They're big snakes.
Yeah, but they're not deadly.
No.
But boas are not deadly.
No.
I was at the zoo yesterday.
People are playing with them all. Every once in a while, you'll have a golfer come in and he'll show you a picture of his wife taking, or one of his playing partners. He's got this bow and he's holding it up. And, and then there's wild turkey out there. There's deer out there. There's armadillos. There's everything in the jungle.
Wild turkey, is it aged and bottled? So what is, so you gave me the signature hole being a par three. Tell me about the most unique par five, and you can hear that there is constantly maintenance being done. Oh, okay. And this place is groomed really well. Yeah, we're fine with that. Right. Hey, he's got to work. What's your favorite par five on the Nicklaus course?
Nicklaus's course is, I would say, number 8, because it's a risk reward. It's not real long, and you can, if you get a decent drive off, you can go for it in 2. Be wary of the bunkers. There's real deep bunkering complexes on the left side and front. If you get in there, it's a little difficult for the average player to get it up and down.
Right.
I like that hole.
You do like that hole?
Yeah, because you can fire at it. The other ones are just a little bit too long to get to, and too, at least for me, and most of the guys I play with.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm generally not someone who's going to... I rarely go for it in 2. I'm not a big hitter, but I play more strategically, I think. It's like... Where can I position my approach shot to be within my favorite club, my favorite distance, and see how close I can get it? And I'd rather go for the birdie, in getting a short putt than trying to get there in 2 and having 2 real long putts.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think that's where Golf Smarter is.
I think the most unique hole on the Nicklaus golf course is the 13th hole. It's a little tiny short par 4. It only measures 340 from the back, and most people play it right around, 295, 300 yards. The green runs across in front of you, so it's only like 15 steps deep with bunkers behind and the arroyo or the creek bed in front. So you punch it out there with like a 4-iron, and you've got a little wedge going in. Or like when we had the World Cup out here, and we did the World Cup event here in 2002, the big hitters would just hit it long right past the green and try and chip it back on or in. In that week, we had 10 twos on that hole by those guys. Can you imagine?
Wow.
10 of them.
Wow.
It's a very unique hole.
We're talking about a par 4.
We're talking about a par 4, yeah.
Wow, that's
some weird. Some of them made 2 from the traditional fairway positioning or from behind. Like Mikkelsen, he just knocked it over the back of the green and then chipped back onto the green.
We're going to take a little break here for our sponsor, which is Audible.com. Are you an audio? Are you a book reader?
Yes.
What's the last book that you read? Maybe we'll go ahead and see if that's an audio. Have you ever do audiobooks?
Clive Cussler, The Devil's Gate, I think it's called. I'm actually in the middle of it right now.
Okay. Yeah. And are you an audiobook listener?
Audiobook? No. No, I read off my Kindle.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Kindle guy.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Changed life.
Yeah.
I know.
Especially down here.
Yeah.
You don't find a lot of...
bookstores.
English bookstores in Mexico, trust me.
Well, actually, Amazon, that creates the Kindle, also owns Audible.com, which is the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, and with over 100,000 titles. And audiobooks are awesome because you can listen while you're... Well, I've seen people on the driving range listen to audiobooks, but you can be doing other things and still consuming the book. Actually, if you have one of the newer Kindles, you can listen when you stop reading and you still want to keep going because you can't put the book down. You can listen. It'll
read it to you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, technology's gotten just absolutely crazy.
Autumn. Yeah. Right now, tell me your favorite book or your current book, and we'll
Devil's Clive Cussler, Devil's Gate, I believe it's called.
Oh, there you go. So, the Devil's Gate.
Yeah.
Right. If you want to check out that book that Casey just recommended, go ahead to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter, and it's free. Sign up for an account, and you get your first choice for free. And if you'd like, Devil's Gate, Clive Cussler. Okay. Hey, you were just in the commercial.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you. let's get over to the Weisskopf course. You have two golf courses here, which I guess that doesn't happen a lot in Mexico, that you're going to have two different courses on one property. Or does it?
It's not like the States where you have bunches of them. But you remember, popularity in golf just blew up here in Mexico, 15 years ago, with all the construction of the new golf courses all over the country.
Right.
But there's a spotty few around. I think we're fortunate here to have a Nicklaus and a Weisskopf on the same golf course because they're so in the same complex because they're so different. They really are.
And explain that. What do you mean in their design?
Well, when we built the golf course.
The personality?
When we built the Weisskopf golf course,
what year was that?
We were actually building them simultaneously. It opened in November of 01, and the Nicklaus opened in April. We barely moved any dirt or any big trees on the Weisskopf when Tom came down and did that. He just left everything where it was and just kind of built the golf course into the natural.
I love golf courses like that.
Yeah. The members tend to migrate towards the Weisskopf golf course more. The biggest reason is the bunkering complexes are a little softer, they're a little easier, and the greens are a little on. They still have movement, but they're not as drastic in the sloping, so they're a little easier for them to play. Because my average age of my members is probably mid 60s. So,
Is it a tough read though on the
after
screens?
You play this golf course a half a dozen times, you figure out everything moves from the mountain to the marina. And it's pretty consistent. It really doesn't. You get fooled once in a while until you played it a few times, what's really up and what's really downhill.
Okay. Mountain. I'm going to take a note right here. Mountain to the marina on the greens. Mountain to marina is what I should be looking for when I'm reading those greens. And the signature hole. Well, again, I'm going to ask the same question that I did before about the Nicklaus courses. What makes a Weisskopf course unique? What is it that when you walk out, you're going to go, up? I can tell this is a Weisskopf course. Is there anything?
I think one thing I'm relatively sure that always got, he always throws in at least one or two what he calls drivable par fours. Here at this golf course, the second hole is only 300 yards from the white tees, and from the back tees, what it measures out at what,
355. Yeah.
And then the 18th hole, you turn around.
That's a straight par four?
It's
usually something like that's going to be a severe dog leg.
No, it has a slight bend to the right.
Oh, good. That's going to favor my...
Not real bad at all.
Okay, so the other one, it was favoring a draw. This one is going to be favoring the fade a little bit?
Yeah, this one's... that particular hole kind of bends to the right. The other hole that he's got on this golf course, which is considered a drivable hole, is number 18, the finishing hole, which finishes right in front of the clubhouse. So when you're sitting in the bar, you're watching people trying to drive it or driving up right around the green. It gives the average player a real opportunity to finish with a birdie. especially on the last hole because it's only 270 yards from the white tees.
What a great thing to do on your vacation.
Yeah, you walk away from the golf course going, oh, I just made birdie on the last hole. I want to go back. I want to play again. I want to brag. Yeah, tell all my friends. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because number two, you've got from the white tees, it's 306 and 355 from the back, the golds. You have three sets of tees. Number 18, 346. So there's only like 9 yards difference on the back tees. But the white tees, it's 271. You're pretty close.
Yeah, the average player
for a par four
gets it down there. Like I said, right around the green, pretty consistently.
Awesome. And
the ladies love that hole because it's only 230 yards.
I'm sorry. So there are four tee boxes,
yeah,
the red ones
right,
as well.
Right.
And they're at a 119 on this one. Yeah, 239. You gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Players leave here happy. Yeah.
Isn't that the whole idea?
That's what you want.
That's how you stay in business.
Exactly.
What's the signature hole here? Which one would we really need to take pictures
so
of?
So many good holes on both these golf courses. I like number 10, the par 5. It's one of the few opportunities on the Weisskopf golf course where you've got a view of the Bay of Banderas and the hotels down on the waterfront.
And then, so the name,
it's got the big lake. We only have one. There's only one lake on each golf course, the irrigation lakes, but they're substantial in size.
So the name, yeah, I was going to say, so the name Vista Vallarta, the view of Vallarta, right?
Exactly.
That's what it is. Yeah. And let's see. So now you like that par five, that's the signature hole. And, on a design sense, do you appreciate golf course design or just, I'm on a golf course. It's beautiful. For you know, it doesn't matter who made it.
I just golf. I mean, like I said, I haven't played a bad golf course yet.
Yeah, no, there's no such thing as an ugly golf course.
Right. I don't have a favorite designer, if that's what you're asking, or one that I don't care for.
Uh-huh. There are people who feel that way.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people that feel that way. A lot of people just come in here and go, well, you had the World Cup here, you've had the Champions Tour event on Nicklaus. I have to go play the Nicklaus. And then when they come in, they start talking to my outside staff, they're back the next day playing the Weisskopf, and they come in, they go, we really enjoyed both golf courses because they're, like I said, they're way different.
Isn't that the most awesome thing about golf is that you can go onto a course and play where they've had major tournaments and top name players that you were like, you knew that they parred this hole, but you got a chance to birdie it. You know, you
and the fact that every golf course is different. So you're not, it's not like a baseball diamond. You're playing the same diamond or the same football or tennis. Every other sport, you got a set field to play. In golf, you get to experience all the different, whatever that golf course has to offer, be it jungle, be it a lot of water hazards, be it a lot of sand, be it whatever it is, it's all different.
See, you being second generation lifetime golfer, you don't appreciate how, you know, like I started playing when I was much older and I found this to be the hardest sport I've ever played, and the ball's not moving. It's just sitting there.
Again, the only sport where the ball's waiting for you to make it move.
Infuriating. Absolutely infuriating. Well, I'm really hoping that we get a chance for you to come out and join me on one of these holes. Because we're also going to do a little video here, one of our tee tour videos where we'll take some shots and show people what the golf course looks like and some of the views and, you know, have you describe, you know, I'll give you some shots because, the course that I'm going to play, I'm not playing both courses, obviously, but, I want to make sure that you can give us a little tee tour on maybe on one of the holes. Hopefully you'll join us and then it'll be up on Golf Smarter TV.
And yeah, we'll do our best. Yeah. You might want to try is play 9 holes on each golf course.
I'm in.
That you might have more fun.
Would that be okay?
That way you experience it all.
Yeah, then I don't have to worry about my score at all.
There you go. Well, the easiest nine we have here at the golf course, at the facility is the front nine of Weisskopf because, as you can see, it measures pretty short. It's only, 2,800 yards from the white tees?
Yeah, 33.
People really love to play that nine because there's a bunch of birdie holes out there.
Yeah, but that signature hole number 10 on the Weisskopf looks awfully tempting, and then you gave me the signature of number 9 on the Nicklaus, so I think I'm going to have to go in front nine. If I can do this, if I can go front nine Nicklaus, back nine Weisskopf?
Yeah, we can do that.
That would be fun. And if you had to tell somebody, look, if you're going to play this hole, and we're going to talk about the Weisskopf course again, that you just don't pull out the driver every single time. You want to be a little more strategic about this one on the Weisskopf course. Which one would you choose there?
Definitely the par 5, number 4. It measures really short. This is what's only 518 yards from the back tees and from the front tee. From the blue tees where most people play, I guess, is only about 450. But if you take out the driver, you're driving it past the way the hole was designed. The hole was designed to hit it short into the large landing area. It's a really risk and reward hole with big trees all around. So you really just kind of hit it out there a couple hundred yards, punch it down there another, you know, couple hundred yards and leave yourself a little 100-yard sand wedge in. That would be the one hole. You just play it carefully. You don't go for it because you can make a really big number there.
The warning has been issued.
Yeah. No, it's all jungle down the right. And if you hit it in the jungle, it's gone because it's on the side of a hill. And up on the left is all jungle and behind is all jungle. You just play it. When you play the hole, you see there's two distinct landing areas off the tee. And for your second shot, you just play to those two positions. And like I said, you just flip the wedge in there, sand wedge in there.
You know, your rough, is that the jungle? Is anything else pretty easy out, or you have a lot of...
There's fairway, and then there's, you know, not a large rough area, but there's a rough line, and then the jungle just takes over from there.
And what makes the topography, the landscaping, what makes it unique about your course, your greens, as far as the type of grass and how to read that?
We have champions on the greens. It's a Bermuda grass, but a very small leafed. So it's a little bit of grain, but it's, again, we keep them pretty tight, so you really don't, it doesn't affect the roll that much. Okay. And then we have 419 Bermuda throughout the rest of the golf course, so it's nice quality turf on the greens. They roll nice.
Your driving range is beautiful. You've got a nice practice area here with a large putting green, and you even have a nice chipping area. We're sitting right here in front of a bunker outside your clubhouse. You like a lot of bunkers on this golf course?
I think there's about the low 70s on one and low 80s on the other, so not a lot. Not a lot.
But they definitely come into play. You said only have two bodies of water, right?
Strategically, they're in play. Yeah.
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 You like this golf course, don't you?
It's fun to play. Yeah.
I know this is crazy because the more I learn about talking to people who are in the golf profession, the more I realize they don't get very much time to play golf.
You know, when you're young and you decide you're going to get into the business because you like to play golf, and then as years go by, you find out the longer you're in the business, the less you get to play.
And there's a warning for every young listener out there who loves golf so much that this is what they want to do for the rest of their life. It's the same thing that I've had when I was working around baseball in the States, and young people would come to me saying, oh, I love baseball. I want to work in baseball. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. If you love baseball because you're a fan, just stay a fan. Don't start with, if you love the business of baseball, then go ahead and work in it. But don't, if you'll hate baseball if you start working in it just because you're a fan. Same thing here. It's your warning for young people.
Yeah. If you're going to get in the business, you got to love golf and love people because that's what golf is. It's the golfing people that make it all fun.
Well, I really appreciate your time. I know that I pulled you out of your office here, and hopefully you will join us out on the golf course. This is Vista Vallarta, Club de Golf in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. I'm going to go out and hit some holes here, hopefully get an 18 of the two different courses, and I really appreciate your generosity and your time. Thank you so much. Nice. Would you like to issue an invitation to this audience?
Nice talking to you. Have a great round out there. And please, if you come to Vallarta, come up and visit us. I guarantee you will enjoy the experience.
Take him up on that guarantee. He's right. The T-Tour video of Vista Vallarta is posted on our Golf Smarter TV YouTube channel. So if you'd like to see some of my photos and video of the course, please check it out at golfsmarter.com. Or better yet, subscribe to Golf Smarter TV and get all of the past and upcoming videos that include travel, instruction, product reviews, and Fred's fabulous goofy stuff at youtube.com/golfsmartertv. I'm so happy that I can announce that after months of hard work, thank you, Glenn, golfsmarter.com is now HTML5 ready. So now you can listen to a new Golf Smarter episode on your web-connected iOS device, including iPhones and iPods and iPads. Oh, my. iPhones and iPods and iPads. Oh, my. Also, if you'd like to listen to Golf Smarter or Golf Smarter for Members Only episodes on your smartphone, whether it's Apple or Android, and want to have each episode delivered without having to sync to your computer, I can recommend some great podcast app for either platform that will make it very easy. Just send me an email and we can have that conversation. I can even walk you through it. Coming up in the next couple of episodes, we'll speak to Alyssa Gaudet about her entertaining book, Two Good Rounds. Michael Anthony will be back on The Mental Keys to Better Golf. Frank O'Connell will implore us to play like a seven-year-old. Plus, I'll premiere his Golf Smarter TV video on hitting straighter drives. And Jim Waldron of Balance Point Golf Schools returns for two episodes, including a lengthy members-only conversation about why he believes Tiger's swing is better than it's been in his entire career. Jim is convinced that Tiger's going to smash every victory record that stands in his way. Also, he'll explain Tiger's swing changes and how that affects our game. Very interesting and really helpful. If you're not a Golf Smarter member yet, then you're sitting out in the cold. Join golfers from all over the world who don't miss a single episode of this listener-supported podcast. Please join Golf Smarter for members only at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.